everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Bob Phillips, and across the table from me is my pal and show partner, comedian Sal D'Amelio. How are you, Sally?
Doing great, Bob. Great to be here for you for our bonus episode.
It's a bonus episode. You're getting two in the same week, people. You want to know why? Because because Sal and I are so happy that we're back to doing what we love, because Michigan opened restaurants again. And tonight, we are at Hyde Park in Northville, Michigan. One of our favorite places to have a great steak and great wine. And we've done several shows here over the past couple years. And God, doesn't it feel good, buddy, just to be, we're sitting in a booth, we're getting waited on.
It's great to just see, like, the hostess greet two people walking in, you know, and seating them. Just, yeah, that's like normal stuff we didn't get to see.
Yeah.
You know, usually you're bundled up getting your carry out to go back out to your car, you know.
Or sitting in the middle of the street in uptown Northville, you know, 20 degrees and, you know, and those gas heaters. I mean, that was fine, but, oh man, you
Jesus.
Can't beat this.
They say because of the COVID, like, flus went down. Like, people, how are flus going down? We're all eating outside. We should all be getting the flu.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that too. Flus have gone down, and so have colds, because people are wearing masks.
Oh,
you know
okay.
what?
Okay, that makes
It's
sense.
Almost like masks work, Sal. The other half of the country, are you listening? Put a mask on.
The only thing with masks is, I forgot where I was, but somebody came up to me and they were like, "Hey, Sal, what's going on?" And like, that's all I could see was their eyes. I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. I'm like, "Hey, it's Jim, remember?" I go, "Oh, yeah, Jim." Like, Jesus,
that happened to me today. I swear to God, I was doing my walk. I walk all around. I do 5 miles every day. And about the halfway point is a Starbucks in Northville.
Yeah, I know that Starbucks.
And I'm walking out, and a guy says, "Hey, Bob, how you doing?" And I turn, I don't remember, he's got sunglasses on with the mask. I realized it was a guy I used to work with and had a quick conversation, but it took me a minute.
Remember when me and you, we went to, I want to say it's the Sports Den in Northville, and then we walked. I remember us walking down to the racetrack.
Yeah, I
and
remember.
Some was it a lady that was pulling in and I said, "Oh, hey, excuse me, sir," and then she turned around. Remember that? And,
yeah.
And I go, "Oh, it's a girl."
Whoops.
Or it's a guy, one of those two. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt so embarrassed. I forgot if it was a girl, guy, girl.
It was a woman, and you said, "Sir."
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and I felt like it. And she was cool about it. She was cool about it. She understood. Maybe from the back of her head, she looks like a guy. I don't know. She knows it, too, or something. I don't know.
And I remember, yeah. I remember it reminded me of that Brian Regan bit about how he says, "You ever mistake, you know, a woman for a guy?" It's like, "Hey, sorry, sir." "Ma'am." "Whoops, sorry."
Yeah.
You're not recovering from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real moment. So here we are. We're back, man. We're at one of our favorite places. And I want to just give a shout out to somebody, a very interesting lady out in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Okay.
The lovely Tracy Clark just returned from Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
A listener. And wanted to say hey.
All
right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for being an interesting
yeah.
lady. And thanks for being part of the Sal and Bob Funhouse.
It's awesome. I appreciate everybody that listens to us.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many podcasts out there and there's so much going on.
There's a lot of podcasts out.
Yeah.
And, but there's very few that are part of the Perfecta podcast.
We are.
Yeah.
We're on top of the world, baby.
We're on
top of the podcast world.
We're so.
And we're going to be hitting steakhouses like Hyde Park today, but we're going to be going all around the country soon. We're going to get back out to Vegas soon and go to the Golden Steer and start this thing all over again,
man.
Like we did years ago, 2 years ago or whatever. So I can't wait to just go to Vegas and be able to go to Golden Steer or all these other steakhouses across. I mean, we were getting going when we were starting to get some steam. What was it? The guy in Louisville contacted us from the steakhouse down there.
We had a lot of steakhouses wanting us to get on board with them. And then it all came to a halt with the COVID.
I know. But what else is going on? We got Super Bowl this weekend. We're going to do our Super Bowl episode after the Super Bowl, because we're like literally moments after the Super Bowl we're going to record.
Yeah, but we're gonna give our picks. Want to give our picks right now? Our Super Bowl picks right
Let's
now?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay.
You go first.
I am not as informed as you are on these things, so I'm going to go first. We'll leave, the learned pick for last. I'm going with Tampa Bay because this is the same reason I have consistently lost in my gambling life.
Yeah,
I bet with emotion, and my gut is telling me that Tom Brady is going to win this. There's fairy dust all over this Super Bowl. He's at home. Our friend Rocky down at the party store
made a great point.
Quarter mile from here. What did he say to you?
Tom Brady, if he can win this game, will go through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Probably three Hall of Famers right there. Well, two out of three are Hall of Famers.
Well, Mahomes
is on his way. So there you go. He beat three Hall of Famers.
On the road, right?
Except the last
two
game.
On the road.
Yeah.
So now he's at home. The stars are just aligning.
Yeah, 52 Super Bowls, and who gets the first one at home?
Tom Brady. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's all lined up for him. It's going to be easier than expected. Tom Brady, they're going to win by 17 points. Now your pick.
Okay. All right. That's impressive, man.
well, it won't be.
Well,
they lose by 17.
I'm going to give you why I think my pick is going. First of all, two defensive linemen are out for Kansas City. Two starters. That's huge. The rain is supposed to be coming in Tampa, so it's supposed to literally just rain, I guess, for a couple days. Now, it may not rain for the 2-3 hours of the football game, which would be great, which is really weird because Florida doesn't have like 2-3-4 day rains unless it's like a hurricane or something like that. Florida usually rains for 10 minutes and it's done. So I don't know what's going on down there, if there's some sort of front coming in. Anyway, because of those reasons, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay as well.
Okay.
But I'm not as positive as you are on it. I don't think it's going to be a 17-point game. But I think Tom Brady is going to – I think Mahomes is going to play a really good first half, and they might have like a lead at halftime. And then I think Tom Brady's just going to take over the game, and something's going to happen. Like some – just remember I said this, some lucky bounce.
Yep.
Some lucky catch or a turnover, something to help Tom Brady get over the hump, because it always seems to happen with that guy.
That's exactly I'm feeling. And I see a real close game into like the end of the third quarter, a 3-point game either way. Then there's a lucky, an interception of Mahomes, and now it's a 4-point game. Brady throws for a touchdown, 11, and Holmes starts pressing. Mahomes starts pressing. And I don't know. It's just got that feel to it.
They just got more. I think they got. And Antonio Brown, if he's healthy, I think is the key.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, because they've got other guys around Antonio Brown, where if they double cover Antonio Brown, they've got other guys that can produce.
That guy is such a lunatic. And he almost destroyed. Well, I think he's destroyed his NFL career. I mean, maybe he'll get another year at Tampa, but the guy can still haul him in.
He's unbelievable. Central Michigan is where he came out of.
He still runs tight routes. He's
incredible.
Player.
No, he's incredible. So if he's healthy, again, you could be right on the 17-point. And if he's healthy and Mahomes is a little bit banged up from his concussion, but they've had 2 weeks to get healthy. So it's going to be a great game. I can't wait for the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to see the commercials. I mean, we were joking about I did a tweet today because I heard Robin Hood is going to have a commercial because they're trying to
how timely
they're trying to withstand their reputation a little bit, so they want to run an ad, and my tweet was that their ad is going to be $3 million for every 2 minutes, but then mysteriously the next day their ad prices are going to go up to $12 million. Isn't that funny how that happened to them? That was my tweet today.
Reddit users will be
I just don't think you're going to see the regulars. You know, I don't know if you're going to see, like, I mean, I know these companies have a lot of money, but you may not see, like, a Ford, GM, any, I don't know. You're going to see, like, the tech companies. You're going to see, Elon Musk might have a commercial, for crying out loud.
It's a weird.
But what would he have a commercial for? Space flight?
Tesla.
Tesla.
Buy electric cars.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see the commercials this year. I think it's the craziest year for.
It really is.
Everything like that. So anyway, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to watch the game, watch the commercials.
Well, I tell you, what you won't see is a commercial for GameStop. Boy, they had their moment, didn't they?
They did.
Reddit users jacked that shorted stock up to, you know, like 1,000% of what it's usually trading at. Now today, it's down to nothing.
Before all this happened, I never knew that you could bet on a stock to lose.
I think that's bullshit. I hate that.
My God, I mean, I lose all of my bets, so maybe I should bet on stocks to lose because I lose my gambling bets. So
can you imagine if they allowed us to do that in Vegas? We go to Vegas a lot, by the way, people. If we went to Vegas and we could bet on we could short ourselves, Vegas wouldn't take that bet. They're like, of course you're going to lose. You're in Vegas.
Dude, right? You know who they said made all of his money on short sales? Guess who made billions of dollars on short sales?
I don't know.
George Soros.
Ugh.
That was his main bread and butter.
Short sales.
Yeah, I heard that he
betting
made all of his money.
On,
so the guy knows, you know, the guy knew over the years what companies were going to fail. So God bless
him. Know what? I just, that whole thing bothers me, that whole psychology behind that. You know, don't bet on things to fail.
Yeah.
Bet on things that are going to win. Put some money, some resources behind them. That is the
never
thing.
Even knew it. Never
that,
even
yeah,
knew that.
Yeah, that's the problem
existed.
I have with these big traders. Because they bet on someone to lose, and then the market goes, wow, George Soros says they're going to lose. So they're going to lose,
yeah.
No matter what they do.
Why can't that happen in regular life? Hey, we're going to get married, but I'm going to bet that we're not going to last. You know, you could like put, you know, just something.
Go down
on
to MGM. You know, what's the over under on that? 5 years.
Jeez, I know, Char. I love you, but I would be a millionaire right now.
Oh well, here we are, folks. This is the bonus episode of the
we're
Sound
at Hyde Park.
Show.
Oh,
Hyde Park.
We're at Hyde Park. This is great. We're in a booth.
On planet Earth.
I haven't sat in a booth like this in so long. This is so great.
We're yeah,
great.
It's been, like, for
we just
me,
served,
it's been
got
since
bread
October.
And butter.
Most
we just got bread and butter, man.
I know.
Was the last time
bread
we got bread
and butter. Like, we need bread and butter.
I know. This we have that. Me and you started this podcast, I don't know, about 2 years ago. We actually did our show here at Hyde Park.
That was our first live show.
We did our live show. And there's a picture of us standing next to the that poster thing that you made.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm as big as a house there, man. I'm like 200 and probably about 85 pounds.
Oh, is that?
In
that
picture.
What you were tipping the scales at?
In that picture.
Wow, I don't remember that.
About
okay.
257 right now.
All right.
So we got to do that again.
Yeah,
we got to have that picture.
We'll
again.
Both look better in the new. In the new
a little bit better. We're still drinking a lot of wine though.
Well, that's what we do on the Sal and Bob Show, and we're going to be ordering some steaks soon. But we got a few things to catch up on here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Sal. People with three names are just trouble, and we're finding that out again with this Marjorie Taylor Greene. This
another
kook.
One, another three name problem. But they get elected.
She got elected.
25 years ago, I should have started my political career and put my full name that my mother gave me, Salvatore Sabatino D'Amelio. Would you vote for that guy?
I would now.
SSD, they would call me.
SSD.
Instead of AOC, I'd be SSD. That's like a SIM card, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but see, you brought up a good point there. Just like AOC, SSD. You know who else has three names? Lee Harvey Oswald, James Earl Ray, John Wilkes Booth.
Oh,
okay,
my.
Mark David Chapman, and the pièce de résistance, John Wayne Gacy. Jeez. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, you got nothing on these other lunatics. But I gotta say,
what about the guy that lost his penis? Isn't his name John Wayne Bobbitt?
Was yeah, that's that? Right.
So
John Wayne Bobbitt.
You lose your dick when you have three names too.
If you have a vengeful wife, that's for sure. Didn't they actually have to go find it on the side of a road somewhere?
Yeah,
it was on the side of a road, and they reattached it.
If there's one subject that was probably touched on by every comedian in the country in '92 or whatever that guy came, I mean. Yeah, they found it on the side of the road and had to, you know, back then if there was an Uber driver, the Uber driver would have brought it to the hospital.
Hey, I put it on ice. I put it in my thermos. Only in America, because the guy later went on to do porn.
Yeah. And if an Uber driver would have taken his penis to the hospital, you know he would have picked up another fare on the way. So somebody would have had to sit next to a penis in the back seat. Hey, I got to drop off this penis before I take you to
like,
Applebee's, you know? That would have been funny.
Well, you know what? No stranger than what's going on today, man. Jewish space lasers, that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is claiming, caused the fires out in California last year.
What is, why would, and she says that school shooting was fake.
Come on, man.
You're, that's really, those parents that lost children have to just be beside themselves.
Well, they are. And it's horrific. It's so, you know what it is, Sal? It's indecent.
Yeah,
it's indecent. This is a messed up woman who's doing all of this for her own publicity and her own ends, to the great pain of a lot of people. And I hope they boot her ass out. At very least, get it. Did you hear she's on the education committee?
Yeah, she's on a couple committees. Now look, here's my stance on that. Is I know as crazy as batshit crazy as she is. They voted her in. I mean, there's a little section of Georgia. Where's she from? Georgia?
I think it's Georgia.
I don't know where she's from. Anyway, they got to just vote her out. I don't know if you just kick her out. Because if you just kick her out, then you can kick out any congressman or woman.
Right.
So you got to watch that.
You can't kick her out of Congress.
But get her voted out. Tell her people, do you want her representing your freaking town or your jurisdiction?
Well, apparently they did, because she ran on these things. You know, she ran on these points that she's been bringing up. And
I should have been a politician.
I mean, and she's a QAnon believer. She's a QAnon nut. Come on, people. What are you thinking?
Yeah. She'll get voted out. I mean,
what they got to do.
What is it, 2 years?
I think so. Yeah, Congress is 2 years. Just let her serve her 2 years, but get her off these committees.
Definitely,
brush her aside,
they can do that. They can get her off the committee.
And marginalize her the way she needs to be. She's not a serious person. She shouldn't be.
Get her off the committee, and if they have a fob to get into the Capitol building, they should just not download her fob.
Yeah, but she's nuts. She'd get out there and smash her way into the window, right?
Yeah, no kidding. She'd go through
put her buffalo horns on. And by the way, that idiot and a lot of other of these morons that attacked the Capitol, they're now saying they're so disappointed in Trump because he won't defend them. And now they're going to be called as witnesses, or their testimony is going to be presented in the impeachment trial.
For next week?
Yeah, Buffalo Boy is now saying how Trump let him down.
They're going to have organic food at the cafeteria.
But enough about politics. That subject will drive you crazy.
I know,
we want to get back to a couple of Sal and Bob regular things here. Family stories, comedy. I got a question for you, Sally.
Mm-hmm.
We've been thinking about this, and we're doing this. We're going to be debating this. We're going to be talking about this question later on another show we do called Crossing the Stream with Kyle Jeff Dwoskin. And I thought it was a good way to talk about comedy. What is your favorite comedy album as a kid? I don't mean in your 20s or 30s. I mean as a kid, you know. Maybe anywhere, say, from 10 to 18 or something like that. What's your favorite?
You know, I wasn't one of these guys, the kids, that listened to a lot of comedy albums. I tend to listen, and we've talked about this, I tend to listen to Johnny Carson. I used to just, you know, we talked about that. I couldn't wait to see the stand-up comedian on Johnny Carson. So that's where I got most of my comedy at.
Mine too.
I want to tell a story, because this entails a comedian that's now a local comic as well, Bill Bouchard. And I knew Bill Bouchard many years ago before we did comedy. Like in the early 90s, we used to play basketball together. So one day, I was just going over to his house to pick him up. This is probably 1993. And him and his brothers were in, you know, I remember his mom and dad's house had one of those family rooms that's kind of like, it was like down a couple steps, like one of those ranch houses. For some reason, I just remember that living room being down a couple steps. And him and three other guys were just cracking up. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're listening to Dennis Miller, Black and White. And I sat there with those guys, and we laughed so hard at that CD or that album.
It's a great album.
And oh my God, we were just rolling over on the couches, just dying. So it's just a memory of mine that I had. Like I said, it wasn't my favorite comedy album of all time, but man, that was a good memory. You know, Dennis Miller brought some laughs to us.
That is a good memory. And that's a
Black
great
and White,
album.
Great album.
And you know, it brings up a good point too. Can you don't do that anymore. You could have a comedy album and have some friends over and just sit and listen to it, but you don't do it because we're so inundated with everything now. It's got to be on video. It's got to be a pay-per-view or whatever it is.
Yeah, or you got to watch it on your phone by yourself or something. I don't know. There's no, I'm sure people sit around watching Netflix specials, you know, comedy Netflix specials together as a family. I'm sure that's done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's, but it, but there was some magic in just absolutely. The audio. Sitting around a record player.
Mm-hmm.
Or later on, even a CD player. But just with friends and just, and telling, hey, shut up, this is a good part, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, that's a memory of mine. Why do I still remember that moment, right? There's so many moments in our life we don't remember, but I remember that.
Yeah.
It's something that sticks in my head because I never laughed so hard for 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
We're just rolling.
Yeah.
Just everything that guy was saying was just cracking us up. And, I listened to a little bit of it today.
Yeah.
Just to kind of bring me back, you know. Yeah, and it was okay. You know, I was laughing today. Yeah. But at that moment, it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. What's yours, man?
Oh, yeah. I love Dennis Miller. Let me clue you in, Sparky.
When he did Monday Night Football, by the way, I loved it.
I loved it, too.
I absolutely loved
it. And Sal, I'm completely with you on that. He was such a great addition to that. But the muttonheads drove him out. The people that couldn't understand what he was talking. It's like, come on, man. He was bringing so much different kind of funny to that.
But yeah.
It didn't last. People couldn't get it.
He was so funny on there. I forgot how he worded it. But there was a moment where, do you remember Warren Sapp?
Yeah.
Lyman?
Yeah.
Warren Sapp tackled Randy Moss, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Crazy, right? Yeah. And he made a reference between the word Sapp and Moss. It was, I forgot who his partner was. I think it was Al Michaels.
Yeah.
Al Michaels just could not stop laughing at how Dennis Miller coordinated Sapp and Moss into his story.
He's a comedian.
Al Michaels was just dying laughing. I'm like, oh, my God. But what was he? He lasted like a year on there.
That was it. I think one, maybe two. And then you had Dan Dierdorf, the most boring. He was on with Dennis Miller.
I never knew he did Monday Night Football. Dan Dierdorf?
Yeah, the most boring. He was play-by-play, I think, not color. But anyway, it was just terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible. So I love the Dennis Miller experiment.
Yeah.
I'm completely with you on that. And Black and White is a great album. And we're talking about, you know, the question is, what's your favorite album as a kid? And for me, I had a lot of them. When I was a really little kid, I mean like 8, 9, 10, I used to literally sit in the living room with my dad and listen to Bob Newhart.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart and Bill Cosby. I mean, before we knew he was a freak. But the thing that I remember, the thing that changed my whole thinking about this, that I could maybe do this someday, or that, you know, that hit me in a way that was not just laughs, it was like, it just changed my whole thinking of things, was Steve Martin.
Oh,
Let's Get Small.
Yeah.
This was before the huge King Tut thing. Let's Get Small was 1978. It was it was a miracle. It was like, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
Who is this? What is going on? I saw this guy on Saturday Night Live, and then the album came out. And back then, they didn't play comedy on the radio, but they did. They played this. They played. You're like, wow, I can't believe this. And it was so revolutionary and so silly and so brilliant.
Yep.
That I just couldn't. I couldn't turn away from it. Mm-hmm. And I remember in high school, there were actually Steve Martin impersonation contests, and I won them.
Wow!
Because I didn't have jokes of my own, but I could impersonate Steve Martin.
Yeah,
because
you watched him so much. That's awesome. That's great.
I mean, how silly? How, you know? How naive? But yeah, that.
No, I
that got me.
That's for some reason. Did he wear? Because back then, 78. You know, what movie was really, really big back then? It was Saturday Night Fever, right?
Yes.
With John Travolta. About that time.
It was 78.
I remember seeing Steve Martin in a white suit. Do you remember that? He wore
a white suit on stage,
which, again, he wasn't trying to copy John Travolta. I think that's just what people wore back then. I mean, Don Johnson did it for 5 years. And I remember him putting that white suit on and coming out on Carson and putting that arrow on his head. And I just thought it was, I'm like, oh my God, he's dressed like John Travolta, but he's a goofball. I was 11 years old, you know, probably sitting on the floor at my mom's house going, this guy's great.
It was magic, wasn't it?
It was magic.
And it was all clean.
All clean. King Tut song. I couldn't get enough of it, you know?
Yeah, that was...
Years later, I ended up reading his book, you know?
We were talking about his book, Born Standing Up, earlier while we were doing show prep. And by the way, you might not think we do show prep. We're just winging it all the time. We do a little show prep, but besides drinking.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were talking about was that album. And Sal's remembrance that, he did his act with an arrow through his head, which today would be like, what is he doing? It would be... I don't even know how it would be received, but it was so funny back then. But in that book, Born Standing Up, somebody asked him, they said, why do you wear a suit on stage? And he said, you should always look better than your audience.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he had a really valid point back then, because stand-up was kind of going in a different direction. People were showing up in different kinds of... dress and outfits and whatever, but he chose the suit. Now, I mean, there's a ton of funny people out there who don't wear suits, who actually look worse than their audience and are hysterically funny. So I don't know that it held up over time, but in his mind, that was what worked for him.
Dude, I love what you just said, because I'm not going to name the comedian, okay? But I was working at Chaplin's one time, and I think I was just emceeing, and then this guy was the feature, and then, you know, Judy Tenuta was a headliner or something, okay?
Yeah.
And I vividly remember this.
It could happen. My Judy Tenuta impression.
But I walk into that bar area, you know, the bar area at Chaplin's, and this feature act is sitting with Billy Hargis.
Yeah.
And Billy is just raking this guy to the coals, going, your fucking jeans are disgusting. Can you put a better pair of jeans on? Jesus Christ, there's 400 people out there.
Yeah.
And that's what he was saying to the feature, and I went, okay, all right, I better make sure I don't wear dirty jeans at a show.
Yeah.
And it just, and as crazy as that story sounds, it's embedded in me. Like, I better look good. You know, I better at least have clean jeans, because this guy's jeans were disgusting. I mean, there were ketchup stains on it.
I know who that was, but we'll keep going. And he still got ketchup stains.
I'm just like, all right. I just saw a story I remember. And ever since that moment, that was early on, I said, all right, I'm going to make sure at least my jeans are clean. And I got a nice, you know, press T-shirt on, or a shirt, or whatever.
Well, yeah, we always look good on stage.
You know.
So, you always look good. You always look like you're up for the moment. And that's the same thing I try to do. And for me... What happened with me was, I was down at the Funny Bone in Toledo, and I was auditioning for a feature spot there, and I wore a suit for the first time.
Yeah, which you do all the time.
And I do now. I have been for the last 15, 16 years, but I didn't always. I would go up in maybe a jacket. I don't know.
Remember the last time I saw you. Obviously, you haven't done it in a while, but no. I can't remember the last time you've gone up.
But I auditioned for this, and I got it. And I was in the same thing that I've been wearing since, black suit, black tie, right? And one of the things that stuck with me was the doorman. Remember, they had doormen at clubs. Remember those days? One or two of them.
Are you kidding me? The Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee had five doormen. Looked like the Sopranos.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding you.
Oh yeah, they're frisking you. You know, they're patting you down.
Dude, did I ever tell you the story about I was at the Comics Cafe in Milwaukee?
Mm-mm.
It, five bouncers, like, you know, Soprano guys.
Yeah.
The MC. The place was called the Comics Cafe, but there was another. There was another comedy club on the other side of town called Joker's, right?
Yeah.
And this MC must have just been at Joker's last week, because he kept going, hey, welcome to Joker's Comedy Club. We got a great show for you guys tonight. Dude, I felt so bad for this guy. And second show, like, you know, after you're done, you go in the parking lot, or you just go somewhere to just chill out for a while. So I go back to the second show, and the owner goes, hey, that MC's gone. And I'm like, well, where is he? He's like, yeah, he's gone.
You
and I'm
sleep
like,
with the fishes.
Where is he? And these bouncers are like, yeah, we got him the hell out of here. And as soon as he said Jokers, he was done.
Jokers.
It was so funny. And the guy was gone. I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Five guys took him out in the back and put him in the dumpster. He's in a landfill somewhere. They're looking for him in a 55-gallon drum.
So I got to do his time, which was great.
he's gone. You got his time. That's awesome.
That is so great.
I swear to God. True story, man.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, can I tell you that Hyde Park, I think, again, I know some of these restaurants might have, you know, they're just trying to get their doors back open, so maybe they want to have just some specialties or special prices or something. I just want to let you know that Hyde Park has a filet mignon 6 ounce for $18 right now. You can get an eight ounce for $25. You can get a New York strip for $30 right now. I know these prices are a little cheaper than what
those
we were here
pretty good.
A year
a New
ago.
York strip for $30.
Seriously, a Wagyu filet mignon 8 ounce for $45. Japanese Wagyu 100% A5. I don't know what that means. A5, is that like a mask? The A95 or the N95?
I don't know.
Oh, it's $95 too. A5 $95. That's hilarious. But you can get a Japanese Wagyu, 100% A5, $95. Anyway, come to Hyde Park, any Hyde Park location, man. That's pretty good prices.
Yeah, this is our favorite here in Northville. So we've covered a lot of ground here already. We got another subject to cover before we end the bonus edition of the Sal and Bob Show. So we were talking off air about some family stories that we wanted to share.
Yeah,
and you brought it up to me. I misunderstood you. You brought it up to me as a story about how your parents met. So I pulled out one in my head that I remember that just to me is hilarious.
No, that's great, and I want to hear.
But you had another one, and I wanted to ask you what's your family story?
Yeah, this again. I don't know what it is. I feel like in the last couple of years since my mom died, I feel like I've sat down with my dad a lot more than I did. Obviously, because when my mom was alive, he spent a lot of time with my mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that, you know, my mom's not alive, me and my dad have had a lot of talks about family and growing up and everything. And he told me a story about my great-grandfather, his grandfather. And my great-grandfather, he actually killed a man.
Whoa!
He was 20 years old.
Well, he was 20 when he killed him?
Yeah, he was 20 years old, and he got in a fight.
In Sicily?
This is in like the boondocks of Italy. I mean, this is in Rome or whatever. This is where we were from, so it's a small town. But my great-grandfather, again, the story that my father told me, that my great-grandfather, you know, whether he got in a fight at a bar or something like that, and he stabbed a guy to death. Now, I don't know. Yeah. And he did 20 years in prison.
Whoa!
Seriously. My great-grandfather. And I know this is going to blow you away. I couldn't even believe it. But as he was going into jail, I don't know who was holding this baby, but I'm not kidding you, my great-grandfather was like hugging everybody and kissing everybody because he was going to jail.
Yeah.
And he sees this little baby, like a little baby, like a one-year-old.
Yeah.
And he says, when I get out of jail, I'm going to marry this baby. I'm going to marry this girl. And he did.
Yeah. Wait.
He
wait,
did.
What?
And that couple had my dad's dad. See what
get
I'm saying?
Get out, dude.
Yes. Is that incredible?
So
my dad tells me this, so I'm like, what? Why haven't you told me this? What is going on? Why
all didn't I know time this? And he doesn't tell. How old are you now? 54?
I'm 53. Yeah.
So he's held this back. For 53.
So my great-grandfather gets out of jail at 40. This baby that he met is 20, ends up marrying her, having a kid. Now, you got to remember, I know this seems like far-fetched, but what it is that town was small.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a lot of people around
right,
there.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
not like if you see a baby now and you go, I'm going to marry that baby. Well, when you get out, that baby's 20 years old. It could be a YouTube star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in Italy, that 20-year-old just became a waitress in the town. Or
well, here, whatever. She'd be an influencer.
And he gets out, he's 40 years old, and he goes
that is
and
a fantastic story.
Ends up marrying her and having my dad's dad as a baby. As a, you know,
That is incredible.
So I don't know what to think. I guess if my great grandfather doesn't go to jail, I may not be here. I don't know what the hell.
Let's break this down, though. Okay, I've only met your dad once. Very sweet guy. And in fact, it was a longer time ago than even before you and I started doing this show. Maybe he didn't want to tell you that until. He felt the time was right. I mean,
I don't know. You know,
I mean, that's not something you forget.
No,
and just go. Oh, and, by the way,
and I when he told me the story, I was like, my brother Frank was in the room. I go, Frank, did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. What?
Oh, so Frank knew.
Frank knew because I remember my brother Frank and my brother Nick are way older than me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Right. My brother Nick
you're
is
the baby.
I'm the baby. So, you know, when that story was big, maybe in the 70s or something, and they retold that story, you know, my brothers were like 20. And so I'm just, I think the last child finds out everything last anyway.
Right.
And that's who I am. And so that story blew me away. I mean, I couldn't even, I think I had problems sleeping the night he told me. I'm like, what? How? What?
Your great-grandfather is the biggest baller of all time, man. To be going into prison and look at a baby and go, it's you and me, kid, when I get out. Jeez. And then he makes it happen. Are you f***ing kidding me? That's like...
I know. That's why I told you I didn't want to tell you until I told you.
I love it. I absolutely love it, man.
So anyway, I know it's not like a meeting story like I told you I wanted to tell.
But it is a meeting story. He met her when she was an infant while he's going into prison.
I know. I'm telling it on... It's on vinyl, as
they
say.
That's the best story you've ever told on the Stanley Park Show. And I thought I had a good story, but you trumped me.
I know you got a good story.
I got a good story.
Because I want to hear about your mom.
I got a good story, but I'm telling you, your great-grandfather is the ballinest baller of all time. And we're going to have to spend some time looking him up after the show.
It's crazy, so, man. It's like a movie. Freaking! I don't even understand that story. Crazy, man.
Well, my story's pretty good too. But
yeah.
My dad was enlisted in the Air Force back in the Korean War when he was 18, and he was stationed in Newfoundland. Okay, that's where my mother was from.
Yeah.
Now back then, the reason we had so many Air Force personnel and so many planes in Newfoundland, this is before we had ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. The missiles flew on airplanes. They loaded them up, and then they flew back and forth on this northerly run toward Russia and back again. So Russia always knew we had nuclear missiles in the air, right?
Okay.
Now we don't need that because they're all out west. They're on submarines, you know, and they're in secret places other people don't know about. So that was my dad's job.
Okay.
To fly these missiles.
Wow.
Along this northerly path.
Jeez.
Over Greenland. In a polar ice cap and back again to say, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
We got something for you if you want to mess with us, right?
Yeah.
So while he's there, okay, he's just a kid now. I think he spent his whole deployment in Newfoundland. So it was like 4 years.
Mm.
Now he's 20. There is a dance on the Air Force base in Newfoundland.
Okay.
And he's telling his friend, hey, I'd really like to meet somebody tonight because I don't have a date. It's a Valentine's Day dance, right?
He knows nobody.
He doesn't have any date. He knows a few girls, and so his friend says, well, I've been dating this girl, but she's off limits. She's mine, right? So my dad goes to this dance with his best buddy at the time, whose name I can't remember. And this is 1950, I don't know, 5? 56,
yeah.
Something like that. And my dad sees his friend's date and they're dancing and he says to himself, oh, she's too good for him, right?
Yeah.
So they stop dancing as, you know, it happens and they go off to groups and then they meet their friends and they have some punch and whatever.
Yeah.
My dad walks over to this girl and says, hey, this guy you're with, you don't want him. He's a loser. You want me. She's like, well, that's awfully bold. He goes, well, I'm just telling you the truth. You want to go home with me. And she did. And that was my mom.
Wow.
And then my dad was the consummate salesman.
Yeah.
I mean,
dad didn't have balls. If he sat in the corner going, I'm not going to go up to her like a lot of guys do.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, how many times have I been at a bar where I'm like, should I go over there?
It's happened to all of us, right?
I know.
A thousand times when we're younger, even when we're, you know, older. But yeah, he said, this is the woman for me. He went up to her and said, dump this loser. I'm your guy.
That's great.
And now they passed away 7-8 years ago. And it would have been their 66th wedding anniversary.
That's great,
but they
were
married for, I want to say, 50.
That's
58 years.
Just amazing,
so,
man.
Yeah,
your parents were so cool and so great.
Yeah,
your dad
great.
Went on to so many great things, and your mom raised, what, 8 kids?
8 kids.
Seven, 8 kids.
8 kids.
Are
one
you kidding
one me? Valentine's Day dance. And 21 yeah. grandchildren, and now 1, 2, 3, I think 6 great-grandchildren. Anyway, they're not around to see that.
You know
that,
what?
That,
I'm telling you, if we ever do another podcast, I want to do a podcast where I just... People call in and tell those kind of stories. I think that'd be a good podcast. I don't know if it could be call-ins, but I think everybody's got a story like that. Because
well, look
let's
at
face
those
it,
two
everybody.
Stories. I think those are awesome.
Both of them are great.
Fascinating stories.
Yeah.
And everybody's got one. Let's do that. Let's do
we
that.
We might
so.
Have to try to do that sometime because I think it's pretty cool. You
yeah.
Know? Everybody's got, you know, not everybody meets on Bumble, you know. So, I know, you know, that's
are
how it is today.
That
how your dad did it and how my mom dad did it is yes. the way it should be done.
Yes.
And boy, boy.
And your great grandfather.
Yeah, my great grandfather.
No Bumble back then. Jesus. He's going into prison. Tells an infant, you're going to be mine.
I don't understand what got into his head to say, well, that's going to be my. Anyway, that's just incredible. But man, that was great. Great episode, man. We just wanted to
fun.
Put out a short episode.
Yeah.
And just pre-Super Bowl party kind of thing. We're gonna have another episode after the Super Bowl. We actually have to get ready for another show called Crossing the Streams.
Yep.
Make sure you go to Hyde Park, any location across the country. Make sure you check out my buddy here, Bob at Bob the Suit, a great Twitter guy at Sally D08. Check us out on Perfect the Podcast. Tune in to the Sal and Bob Show. We're gonna be going to steakhouses across the country. Check out BobPhillips.com for his shows. SalDiMillo.com for mine. We'll see you guys next time on the Sal and Bob Show.
Good night.